T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
You know, I played for the Boston Celtics, if you didn't know that, and very proud, too. Played with a lot of great teammates. Even played with some Hall of Famers. Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, my favorite, Bill Walton.
The Boston Celtics are the greatest because of people like Glenn Ordway, the men who make the Celtics what they are.
Thanks, Glenn. I'm very happy for you. Done well.
On Twitter, Lou Maloney calls me out. I'm going to pop a Vicodin and get after this guy right now. I don't care.
On some drugs.
Well, I made it very clear about this whole thing with Kevin Durant. I never called it a report. Reports today, Kevin Durant is going to take a free agent meeting with the Celtics. I love Lou, but sometimes he really gets on my nerves.
Right now.
Oh, I can trust you, right? Sure, Daddy. Okay.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Kind of an interesting day over here at Fenway Park. Very, very interesting.
Wait, so real quickly, you didn't like that whole NBA award thing with Magic and Bird. You didn't like it.
I was disappointed because...
I mean, you had high hopes for that, right?
Well, because it's a lifetime achievement award. And let's face it, without Larry Bird and Magic Johnson,
Where would the NBA be?
The NBA would be dead. It would be a fifth or sixth sport, seventh sport.
And they saved it.
They saved it in the 80s. The league was in serious trouble. There was drug allegations, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Fun, so
they and they saved it and brought it back. So last night, they brought the two of them up there, and you would think that they would prepare something. And Larry's running through his resume, like, you know, what are you doing?
I feel like that's what they all did.
You're playing for the kids that, like, I've never heard of you. Who are you?
You know,
sorry, I'll go first. Get back here and be quiet. Hold this for me. Okay. I'm busy. Lifetime Achievement Award. That means you've been around a long time. In Magic's case, probably a little too long. But, you know, I see all these highlights. Haven't seen a lot of them for a long time. But, you know, I played for the Boston Celtics, if you didn't know that. And very proud, too.
All right. Then he goes through his entire resume.
Okay, but Andy, you brought
play with this guy, play with that guy.
Yeah, but it was boring.
I want to hear the part where he talks about how the athletes today are better.
Oh.
You know, the one thing that I see happens often is – you see these old broken down NBA players talking about their era and how great they were back then, and the players today are not as good as they were back then. That's crazy, man. I mean, obviously, you haven't seen LeBron James the last 17, 18 years. You didn't see Klay Thompson score 37 points in one quarter, or you didn't see Klay Thompson, like I did, score 60 points in 32 minutes. Or obviously you don't see James Harden come down the lane getting ready to dunk on whoever's standing there. I mean, it's just amazing how these guys are playing the game today, and I couldn't be more prouder of them. The game's in a good place, and what I tell all these young players coming in today is keep the game the way you found it, and it can go on for generations to come. Thank you.
Good words.
It's the whole, we know that the players today are better
athletes,
because
they're
better athletes overall. There's more nutrition, there's weight training, there's year-round sports. But if Larry Bird came into the league today, out of college, where would he fit? Where would he be ranked right now? But with the assumption, though, that he came up the same way LeBron James did, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving. I mean, he didn't, you know what I mean?
He would still be the
rules would be different. Larry it's not going to be one three-pointer every four games.
No, he'd take 8 or 9 a game.
Yeah, he'd be going nuts.
And that would be the difference. Larry would be a huge scorer, scoring leader every year because he takes so many threes. By the way, I did, when I was looking this up during one of the breaks, because I was trying to figure out what year he had the bone spurs and not the
ruptured Achilles.
No, he did not rupture his Achilles.
I heard Gilroy last night, and he knows basketball.
Bone spurs. Oh. One of them in the Achilles, but it was a spur, something that you probably
He fractured his jaw.
No, okay. He didn't. So I looked it up. 88, 89. Do you know what he made that year?
What did he make? Is a salary?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to go 4.2.
Less. 2.5.
He made 4.4 the very next year.
Nope,
you're wrong. That year, he made $1.6
million. But again, that was a lot of money.
Games changed a little bit.
I think.
TV contracts. Yeah. Opt-outs.
So, but I'll give it to
him. That's why they got that award last night. All those players are like, thank you. Yeah. I'm about to sign this Supermax.
But you know what happens.
Bird should have been like, hey, listen, do I get like a bonus?
Yeah, but you know what happens is he called them old, broken down NBA players. And you guys are, you're close to being old, broken down NFL and MLB players.
No, we're there now.
That's all right. Okay. But there's a jealousy that exists out there because I just gave you the salary for Larry Bird back in 88, 89. I think the final year he had a buyout, it gave him like $11 million, something like that as a buyout. But when you look at the salary of the guys today, so you talk about Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker is nowhere close to the player that Larry Bird is. And Kemba Walker is going to make himself $32 million a
maybe
year.
Maybe 45.
Maybe 45. Okay. Which is unbelievable when you look at Larry Bird. And Larry Bird was already a three-time MVP.
Yeah, but you
MVP
know, you can
point.
Do this forever. You can go back to the early 80s in baseball and say, what was the best player making? Was he making $35 million a year? You know, so, I mean,
yeah, but that's why the old players are pissed off and keep on arguing that the game was better.
And I'll tell you, these players now will be pissed off 30 years from now when the guy's making $150 million a year.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Well, it's so funny you say that because I remember
just saying, the first $100 million player
and a beer
per
here,
year.
And a beer here will cost $45.
Whatever.
Jeez.
Yeah, no, because it was to say, if you play long enough, by the time the new rookies come and you're done, say you have a 10-year career, the difference that'll occur in that 10-year span is ridiculous, the amount of inflation and the money that's going to be possible. So, yeah, and I would say a lot of these guys probably have an axe to grind. They have a right to be a little, you know, uptight and irritated by the fact that they grew the game and they, you know, they started it and they made all the sacrifices. And there was no concussion protocol. You just got a concussion. You said, what?
That's all relative, though.
So let me tell you my biggest problem with these award shows, and we were talking about the NHL award show last week and the NBA award show last night.
You just hate award shows.
Well, I think they're boring. And
give me an award show that is entertaining, because I cannot think of an award show that is actually entertaining.
Well, the Grammys are pretty good because you get entertainers who are actually entertaining you.
Yeah, but
they're doing what they do.
But with the Grammys, though, you see all these acts. You never heard of these guys before. You never heard of these random best artists. Oh, artistically, it's so great. I love the way they put everything together.
Okay, but
they're not stars.
No, but you get artists that go up there and actually
are
performing.
You hate presidential visits, and you also hate award shows.
I do, but at least with the Grammys, you get performers performing. They bring some old-timers in there, rock and roll legends, and they do Lifetime Achievement, and they have them perform.
Tony
the problem
Babcock here with Hart Trophy finalist Connor McDavid.
There you go. This is the NHL award. But you can't have Pascal Siakam go up there and say, hey, Pascal, instead of going up there and speak, which you're not real good at and you're hard to understand, why don't we just have you go and dunk some basketball? So we put up a net and we have him go there and do a couple of slam dunks. Right? In a suit. And then at least you say, well, he's doing something that he does. Instead, every one of them go up there, and Giannis at least broke down and cried. And let's face it, we all like emotion.
It's a big
talk about back in Greece
NBA players.
As a kid and his dad, and he thinks about his dad every day. Anytime they bring up dad.
Thanks, Rob.
Every time they bring up dad, you know what happens. You get a tear or two.
But, you know, when you do these award shows for movies and musicians, they all ham it up. They're all entertainers, right? And they're all out there dancing, and they're laughing because they're actors. When you do these things for athletes, it's who can be the coolest.
Yes.
Who can look unfazed. You know what I mean? They're out there, and they just, no one's really, like, laughing and having fun because that's not cool. What's cool is to be like dead serious and be like, yo, what's up?
Was that a joke about
me? They actually did one on wardrobe.
But
they
I'm just saying, like, it's just, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Like, just
no,
like,
you're right.
They're just like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. You're not mocking me.
Boy, you think that's funny? I think it's full of cameras on me.
What's up, guys?
I'm going to give you my cool face. You know what my cool face is? Unfazed. I don't care what's going on.
I'm a stone cold killer.
Yeah, and it's just.
I can't be laughing at your jokes.
Yeah, it's just who's the coolest? The coolest is the one that doesn't show any emotion.
So I have a solution.
They don't care if you're there or not.
Yeah, but what they all do is the exact same thing. They get up there. None of them have prepared speeches, and it's cool apparently to not have a prepared speech.
Oh, that's what I mean. It's all cool,
right? Because if you have a prepared speech,
you're not cool.
That's right. Because it looks like you thought were going to win. You got
you're
a huge ego. You're better than everybody else, right? You thought you were going to win this damn thing. So instead, I think what they all read the same list. They all go to the same people. We have to hear about the agent, right? We have to hear about the mother, the father. We have to hear about all the players on the team. Front office. I don't care about the front office people. They're talking about people, I don't know, that set up their travel schedule. Like, I care. And they're thanking every one of these. Why don't they do this? They limit it. You can thank five people, and we put the rest of them all up on the screen.
I like to thank everyone.
In advance.
I want someone to go up there and say, I'm not thanking anyone but myself. I go out there by myself. That's Nobody coming. Helps me play basketball while I'm playing basketball.
That's coming.
I do it. Oh, thank you for handing me a meal. Oh, that did not make a difference to me making that three-point shot. Be selfish. Be arrogant.
But, you know, I was watching this with...
I'd like to take this chance to apologize.
Yeah, thank you.
To absolutely nobody.
This is what I want. I wish Giannis would have done that.
Yeah, it would be good.
I mean, just come on. Be honest.
Here's the scary thing if you're the Boston Celtics, though. And I saw it last night, and you look up there and you're saying, oh, my God. Giannis is an MVP, and he hasn't even come close to reaching his peak. But if you watch them the last 3-4 years, he just gets better and better and better.
The East is weak.
No.
What do you mean no?
So you have right now an MVP who's going to get better over the next few years. He hasn't come close to reaching his goal. He talked about that last night, winning championships. And then you have Toronto, and if the story is correct now, out of Toronto, because your jury was being lured to Washington for a lot of money, he's deciding on staying right now, staying with he's talking about staying with Toronto, and now has come out and said, and a lot of people think that he ties in to Kawhi Leonard, that Leonard felt very comfortable with him there and what he did to make him feel good there. If that's the case,
I mean, if Kawhi stays in Toronto, and Giannis is in, how old is Giannis? 24?
24.
All right, so you're going to get LeBron in his prime? No, I think the East is fine.
You have,
no, it's easy.
It's easy. So it's much more difficult about? Than what we were talking
no,
about
not.
With LeBron.
Celtics going to be fine. Celtics going to be fine. No. Don't tell me the Celtics are going to be fine. LeBron, Celtics going
to
be fine.
LeBron was close to being a senior citizen. And now you're getting two younger players. Giannis, again, I repeat, 24 years old, a runaway MVP. Did you see how many votes LeBron got in MVP?
No.
One fifth place vote. What? That was it.
Good.
No first, no second, no third, no fourth.
And that person called LeBron to let him know.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure.
Just so you know, don't be mad at me when
and,
I ask you.
And if you have an extra half hour, an hour this summer, I could love to sit down and do story on you.
So what makes it more frustrating, a year ago...
Yeah, LeBron had a rough night.
We were talking about how this was all opening up. The seas were parting for the Boston Celtics because LeBron was leaving. He was going to L.A. This is the perfect move. Now Boston, it'll be Boston and Golden State for the next 5 years. Not only did you get shoved back in the line, but you've got two teams that are going above you right now that certainly are much better teams than you that have premier players, maybe the number one and number two player in the entire league.
Yeah.
And if they're going to stay, they're going to be there for a long time. So where's your opening? What happened to that opening?
See, that's the kick in the balls. And that's why I still say it's a disaster of what happened here in the last calendar year. Because it is. I mean, what you have right now is, okay, how do you make this look nice for free agents down the stretch?
You can't.
I'm on NBC last night, and I know Sherrod was there, and he wrote an article about like why you should feel optimistic. Optimist, pessimist. We did a segment. Of course, he and Abby were the optimist, and Holly and I were the pessimist. And he's talking about why free agents. One of the reasons why is because they've shown they want to come here. Al Horford, you know, and Gordon Hayward. And it's like, no, that was then. This is now. The same reasons why Al came here, whatever it was, 4 years ago, is the reasons why he's leaving.
Come on, Debbie Downer.
Because Danny was able to put a blueprint in front of him and say, look what we're building here. Gordon Hayward, look what we're building here. And we still got these assets. We're only going to get better. There's another piece. We are going to compete. We're going to own the East. And they came here and they bought in. And then the final step, it all fell apart. You are not drawing free agents. I just don't think you are. So you got to create another situation, and maybe it's Jaylen Brown. Maybe it's Jason Tatum. Look at these guys. Look at the step they take this year to maybe get somebody next year. Because right now, I think that was so 4 or 5 years ago, because it's just not now anymore. It's not.
No,
and big guys now.
So let me ask you this. You were the pessimist. That doesn't surprise me.
Right.
And the others were the optimist. It was Abby and who?
Sherrod.
And Sherrod.
It's not that easy.
Did they comment about Al Horford coming here as a free agent, which I think Danny did a great job of getting him here, maybe to attract some other people, and you were getting a guy that people liked? Did they mention anything about the fact that he left on his own?
Well, that's, what do you mean?
No, and that's the point.
He left.
The point is he left. And the youth movement, we should be excited, you know, and live in the now and enjoy these kids. Again, that was 4 or 5 years ago. We've turned the clock back. It's a, now you have a better foundation than you did 4 or 5 years ago just because you have Tatum and Brown. But where's that taking you? You know, and it's not like they're the first year in the league now. Now we're talking about, you know, year four, year whatever it is, three, four, which is what, a year closer to getting their ass out of here, too, if you don't turn things around another year or two.
Right.
And make them want to stay for something other than more money.
So you talked about the...
But if you're a stealth team, ooh, you're out there looking for players because you're stealth, right? That's the word.
Mark Stein.
Mark Stein. Let me see, where is this at? Oh yeah, so Mark Stein came out earlier in the day and talked about how the Boston Celtics were a stealth team that were going to try and lure Kemba Walker away from Charlotte. Later on in the day, it turned into, oh, okay, we can scratch stealth. Boston and Dallas are at the forefront, or at the front line that will be trying to lure Kemba Walker away from Charlotte. So now you got two teams.
Right.
Now they're not stealth. They want everybody to know that they're after Kemba Walker. He can be a Celtic, and I will tell you, if that's the case, you'll be okay.
Well, of course, Danny's going
you'll
to
be
go
okay.
I'm not sure, but you're okay. That's right. That's all you'll be. You'll be an okay team.
If you
Lou just
Kemba,
said
can
this,
you convince Al
okay
to come back?
No.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's part of it, though. So Kemba says, hey, Al.
I mean, I think Kyrie
more
is
than average.
I think Kyrie is gone because I don't think anyone here wants him back. Okay? Other than maybe Danny because he sees the talent. But when it comes to Al, we all knew he was going to opt out. To me, all this stuff, the day he opted out until July 1st, is all noise. We don't know what the hell's going on with him. If Danny can show him, I just replaced Kyrie with Kemba Walker. I can bring you back. Like, so I'm not closing the door on that yet. If he can make it show Al what they're building or who they're bringing in other than Kyrie to replace Kyrie, I'm not closing the door.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Wait a minute. To open the money up, you've got to renounce Al. So the timing's not going to work because you're in competition. You're fighting Dallas. You're fighting Charlotte to get this guy. So they're not going to – nobody's going to play to your
timetable.
Well, he just
opted out. What are you going to renounce him for?
You have to renounce him.
Well, hold on. So you said that. So if Kyrie decides to come back, he says, you know, he's had a change of heart. So everything that Danny Ainge said the other day when the rookies were announced about, you know, hey, it's great to have, you know, guys that want to be here. I'm just paraphrasing. He mentioned, you know, no issues in the locker room. Guys that just want to work that you don't have to worry about.
Makes
to me
make good
go ahead
people is it makes coming to work more fun.
Yeah. Okay, so Kyrie is one of those guys that makes coming to work a disaster. It sucks.
Guys,
you know that he's waiting there for you.
Gosh, it's all nice to Danny to say this, and I think people are misunderstanding what I've been trying to say. I think Ainge is terrific. He's as good a general manager as you have in the league. I think Brad Stevens is a very good coach. The only thing I would say is he still hasn't proven to me that he can deal with these big, huge egos, and that's what the NBA is. It's individuals, it's stars, it's their own brand. I'm not sure he's figured that out yet, but as an overall coach, he's excellent, okay? I love the organization. I think the ownership is tremendous. But if you're looking at what has transpired in the last calendar year, Lou was talking about a disaster. I don't think you've ever seen a team go from where we're talking about them being in the mix, heavily in the mix for the next 5 or 6 years, to being down to being okay. That's our new term now. Okay. I talk about the cute little team. The cute little team's not a bad team. The cute little team's a cute little team. They're okay. They win 45 games. In the NBA, that's the worst position to be in. You're not bad enough where you're going to get the next superstar, where you're going to get the next LeBron, right? You aren't. But you're not good enough to really challenge for a championship. You're in nowhere's land. They're in nowhere's land right now. That's my issue. That's my issue. And I don't think it has anything to do. Hold on. I don't think it has anything to do. That's right. They're saying the same thing. Yeah. And the Green Teamers aren't even listening to their own team and what they've been saying for the last 2 years. You know, Wick wasn't crazy about that cute little team from last year in the postseason. He knew exactly what he had. He knew that team wasn't going anywhere. He knew it was the set of circumstances that allowed them to go to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Championship. They're all good people. But the way things have played out, this has been a disaster. Do I think Kyrie's a good guy? I don't know the guy. Sounds like to me he could be a total a-hole. But can he play? Is he one of the top 10 players in the NBA? Yes, and I want a top 10 player. I want two of them.
Well, I tell you what.
Because that's how you win.
You just might, because I don't know if you knew it or not, but according to Robot Dave.
We got a report.
I'm just saying, Boston's officially on Kevin Durant's list for free agency meetings. And he's hearing that Durant already contacted Gordon Hayward with questions regarding the training to medical staff in Boston. I think Robot Dave, this came out yesterday at 2:15 p.m., right at the beginning of our show. I mean, I don't know why no one's running with this story, but this is a big story.
No, it's not.
What do you mean it's not a big story? I heard Patrick Gilroy last night talking about this report, that how Kevin Durant was going to come into Boston and visit in free agency. You don't think that's the case? I mean, we heard it last night, didn't we? So I think there's a chance that this could happen.
So Gilroy took a late night approach to the the Robot Dave tweet.
Oh, he had a little
he ran with it. Yeah. So yeah, he ran with it like it was like blue check mark fact.
He's got 1,000 followers. We saw this yesterday at 2:15 beginning of the show. Christian and I looked at it. We're like,
I think at the beginning of the show.
Like, you know what? If Kevin Durant is really considering Boston, this would be the number one topic on Get Up, The Jump, High Noon, High at 4, Quarter
Sports
Past
Center.
5, Sports Center.
Every 15 minutes on Nesson.
Whatever. Dealing it would have been all over it. Nobody picked it up. Nobody talked about it. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not credible. Nobody addressed it at all day, because everybody knew it was full of crap, except our guy, Patrick Gilroy, at night.
This is a story comes out tonight. Show. That Kevin Durant looks like he's going to take a free agent meeting with the Boston Celtics. We know how close things came a couple of years ago. And as a subpart to this story, apparently, and again, you know, you can believe it if you want. It's been out there through a few sources, so it's worth talking about. Apparently, Kevin Durant has also reached out to Gordon Hayward to sort of get Hayward's opinion on the Celtics training staff, because we know that Gordon Hayward had to come back from his catastrophic injury. And now we know that Kevin Durant is going to have to come back from his catastrophic injury.
Yeah, Robot Dave. And he went with it. So I simply, driving home from talking baseball, just quite frankly just said, you know what, maybe I missed it. I mean, listen, I was only at the home of the Boston Celtics, you know, the Green Teamers, like the headquarters for the Green Teamers, from about 7 to midnight. And maybe all the Green Teamers, you know, maybe Sherrod, maybe Abby, everybody. It's just our producers who go at it. Maybe they missed the fact, one of the biggest stories in the NBA, that maybe Kevin Durant will come to Boston for a meeting. So I thought I missed it, so I just asked him, like, who are your sources? Where's this report came from when I was listening to Gilroy driving home? Or are you just using Robot Dave as your source? Right? Robot Dave. And he lost his ever-loving mind. But that's all right.
Well, but he had to kind of clap back, I guess. He basically was, hey, listen, I never said report.
I don't want the people to call in that are going to anger me and upset me, because it's painful for me to raise my voice tonight. I'm legitimately in a tremendous amount of pain. It is what it is. Oh, yeah. And then on Twitter, Lou Merlone calls me out. If there's anybody that's going to sort of enrage me and get me going, I don't care about the pain any longer. I'm going to pop a Vicodin and get after this guy right now. I don't care. All right? I may have just spent 48 hours in a hospital, unable to move, essentially, after being a world-class idiot and falling 15 feet backwards off my deck. I love Lou, but sometimes he really gets on my nerves. I appreciate that when a big star like, you know, Futility Lou decides to listen. I love that.
I'm just trying to help the guy out. He's basing his whole two-hour show there on false reports.
Well, I feel bad he fell off the deck, but you would hope that Green Teamers fall off the deck, hit their head, and maybe come to their senses. Apparently he's not.
So where am I wrong? He did a two-hour show about a tweet from Robot Dave, and I just quite frankly just said, is there anything else? Did I miss something?
Yeah, I can't do
it. And he got all pissy.
I made it abundantly clear about this whole thing with Kevin Durant. I never called it a report. Reports today, Kevin Durant is going to take a free agent meeting with the Celtics.
But here's the thing. All you have to do
I hate
now,
when they do that. When they take tape and they play it back and they prove they disprove you.
He actually said multiple reports. That's reports. Awful. Multiple reports. Multiple sources. And I'm like, well, did I miss something? And then he got all pissy at me. I never called it a report. And I'm like, I've been listening to you the last 40 minutes. Call it a report.
I never called it a report. Yes, I'm calling it a report because...
it's a late night show, though, man. You get tired. You get delusional. You can't see straight.
I guess.
But the other thing is that all you need to do now, we see these reports all the time. You just have to throw something out there. It doesn't matter who they're coming from.
Ainge's right, you know, especially during the final week here of free agency. Most of the stuff that's out there, about 99% of it, is a bunch of BS. And a lot of it is agents playing some games right now. Like, and I said to you at the beginning of the show, I think Kemba Walker's agent is probably the plant for this right now. About Boston and Dallas being interested, because he is a super max player, believe it or not.
For Charlotte.
For Charlotte. Yeah. He can get 5 years and $221 million. All right? Here's the problem. Charlotte doesn't want to pay him $221 million because they know he's not worth it. Second of all, they don't want to go into luxury tax, which gets them up to $132. And third of all, they need money to build a team around him right now, so they can't do it. So he comes out last week and makes the mistake. And his agent probably said, oh, my God, what did he just do? And basically said, I'll take less money to stay in Charlotte.
And they said, beautiful.
I love it. And everybody loved him down
knowing
there.
Knowing that he wasn't going to get
Hornet
it anyways.
I love him, and they're terrific. And his agent's probably sitting there going, oh, you dumbass, what are you thinking of? The most that Boston or Dallas can give him is 4 years and 140. Do the math. 221 minus 140. It's a differential of $81 million. He's 29 years old. He's making $12 million a year now. This is going to take him till he's 34, 35. He's at a point where this is his last contract, big contract. This is it for him. He's making all of his money here. So my guess is his agent's sitting there going, okay, all right, we want to stay in Charlotte. Let's see if we can get the money back closer to 221, maybe 170,
so throw it
180.
Out.
So I'll throw other teams are interested in him. So that Charlotte will get concerned that they better sit down with my client and they better come to their table.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure that really matters in the NBA.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
I'm just telling you, I don't think it matters in the NBA.
It does if you're...
They know how much other teams can give them, 140.
Yeah, but it does if you have...
If it's baseball, it's like, hey, listen, you don't want to give Mookie Betts 350? Well, I'm going to let you know that the Atlanta Braves are, and you know, Texas Rangers are, the Anaheim Angels are. So, and it's just like, okay, they can do whatever they want. The Charlotte Hornets can sit there and say, of course other teams are interested in Kemba. He's a great player, but I know they can give him 140. We just don't want to give him 220, but we'll give him 175. You know, whatever. And I see it's they know what other teams can give him. It's not a shock that other teams are interested in Kemba Walker.
No.
They absolutely should.
No, it's not a shock that Boston's interested in him.
But it's not a bidding war is the point. In the NBA, it's so structured that they know what they can give him.
Yes.
Right. So it's not, you know, maybe the agent's playing a game, but it's not like he's a baseball agent where there's no salary cap and he's really playing the game. He's just kind of ruffling some feathers.
Now, there are limitations. I just think that when you do something like this and you're an agent, you've got to be able to play the game. But it's not surprising that Danny Ainge would call about Kemba Walker, because what Danny's trying to do is trying to free up maximum contract money so that he can go out there and see if he can fulfill
the question
it.
Is, how much money is Kemba Walker willing to leave on the table to win or to have a better chance to win? So 220, I don't think he's willing to leave $81 million. 180?
But they're not going to give
him 240. Yeah, but if you know they can only go to 140. If they're not only giving go to 140, it's like you already know that go to 150, and he's probably going to stay.
Well, so 150, $10 million? He might sit there and say, you know what? No, I don't think I want to stay in Charlotte for 10. I mean, I might, you know, I'm not giving up $10 million. I'm making 140 by going to this team where I can actually play in the postseason and I can actually show people what I can do on the big stage.
Well, but again, you would also say, all right, so fine, I'm going to take less to stay in Charlotte, and let's see who else they bring in. You know, Michael Jordan is running that team.
Yeah, he's
so,
done
you
such
know.
A great job so far. he was a better player, I think, than
you
he
think?
Was a management guy. I will say this, though, when you look at it, it's not like he's going to the Golden State Warriors. It's not like he's going to Milwaukee or he's going to Toronto. It's not where he's going to a team in which he can say, I'm 29, I haven't won a ring yet. So I'm going to a team in which I have a really good shot of winning the ring. I hate to say it. You can get all excited about Kemba Walker. He's not as good a player as Kyrie Irving. He's a very good player. He was a third-team All-NBA. But he's not going to change the fortunes of Boston to the point where they're suddenly a championship contender. He's going to make you, you know, probably what you were last year at best. And you're going to be without Al Horford. And if you fill that slot with him, you don't get that big guy. Now suddenly you're getting who?
Yeah.
Robert Williams, you're depending on him. So if you're Kemba Walker and you already feel good in Charlotte and you think they're close, because they're not that far behind Boston right now, and you come back there and they can fill in some pieces, and you're going to make a lot more money.
You're telling me that if you spend that money and well, I guess you got to renounce Al, right?
Yes, because you have to free up the slot.
Yeah. See, I just thought him opting out freed it up. But no, okay, yeah. So you can't bring Al back.
You have to have to be able to do that. It's all about timing.
Yeah, you opted out.
Right. So you have to be able to have a player that you can plug in. You can't. Boston can't get the $34 million unless Al's out of the picture. He's got to be out of the picture. That's the thing. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number right here in OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
John Farrell, you can handle the pressure. This is a guy that slips into a coma every night in the seventh inning. Every night in the seventh, when the game is most pressure, when the game flat out speeds up on him. I mean, it does. It's not. It's proven. I mean, honestly, behind closed doors, you could probably ask anybody over there. Whatever your manager, it speeds up. So in the pressure moments, you don't slow the game down. You speed up the game. That's what you do. You slip into a coma every night in the seventh. Who should we go with? I don't know. Jeez. What about this guy? What about that guy? I don't know. This guy's my eighth inning guy. He's not available. Lie. Matt Barnes was never your eighth inning guy. Flat out lie, and everybody ate it up.
Sorry, take it. You don't agree.
Well, yeah. No, don't agree. What do you mean don't agree? Of course not. Handles pressure. That's like the biggest thing. His biggest problem is pressure. He handles the first inning. He handles the clubhouse. Then the game starts.
Not even opening day. It's a preview section. I mean,
when you say people handle the pressure, okay, they're not clutch. This guy, his head's spinning in the seventh inning because he doesn't know what the hell to do. Handle the pressure. Yeah, we'll see. Handle the pressure. Handle second?
Oh, good news for you, Lou. Lobsterman John forgives Angry Lou. I read it today in the Boston Globe. Stan Grossfeld had a piece.
Yeah.
He's a lobsterman now. He goes out every single day like his dad did. And he goes and he throws the traps out, brings the traps in, and he even forgives talk radio.
Wow, which is basically
which
you.
Which treated him like a rotting fish head in a lobster trap. That's you, Lou.
That's true.
You did that to him.
Now listen, I'm happy for Jim.
Yeah.
He's on a lobster boat,
yep.
And I hope he's happy. It wasn't personal.
That goes unnoticed.
Unfortunately, I just had to judge the job I thought he did.
Right.
I mean, what am I going to tell you? And there really wasn't much, you know, nice man.
Why are you justifying happy. For yourself now? Why
no, I'm happy he's
this?
On a boat.
He sounds
he
like he's
be
really
in a
happy.
Nice place right now.
Yes, he does.
He's good.
He said he talks about us talk radio, and boy, he takes a really positive view of this. They've got audiences to create, he says. So there's an approach that they choose to use. He's right about
he
that.
He took the high road. Right. He had a lot of Kurt Warner in him.
He did have a lot
of Kurt Warner. Very nice. Yeah. And when I read this, and I'm sitting there going, was there a guy less ready to be the manager?
What do you mean?
In this town? He just he wants nothing to do with this. He's not combative. He's a nice guy. He just wants to just, you know,
his happy place is in
nature.
The middle of the ocean.
But
pulling
what I'm not
going to
do.
Well, yeah, you can understand why when people were combative with him, he didn't understand what the hell was going on. He was not set up to be the manager.
But
of the
city. He didn't Mickey Callaway him. I mean, he didn't.
No,
do any of that.
But you can tell you look at him and you look at him now. He's like, wow, he's a really nice guy. He's just, you know, a good old boy. He just means well. He doesn't have it.
So I have people,
a mean bone in his
wasn't
bottom.
This an article already written? Isn't this the article that, like, they used to give Drellick crap for? Didn't he write an article about John Farrell lobstering?
I think
when
so,
he was
yes.
a kid or something?
Yes,
they did?
You're right.
Yeah. used to make fun about that. What's going to write another article about Farrell lobstering?
Yeah, but when you read, when you see it, you see all the pictures, you see him, he's just enjoying his life. Or this is what this city does to you. This doesn't happen in these other cities. This happens in Boston. You become a manager. You just have a shelf life because you just can't handle it anymore. And it's not with basketball. And who knows what it'll be like with football because, you know, the Patriots always win. In hockey, I mean, it's just more of a smaller, you know, a group of people, I guess. But with the Red Sox, I mean, I'm amazed he actually isn't in some loony bin right now. Like, you know, talking about just, you know, you or Keith. Or-
I can only hope that someday my life is nothing but just going clamming.
Well, why don't we do this? He said,
yeah, but I mean, can you understand?
Boat, go down
can
the river,
understand
right. Lemon.
Almost shell shocked he was.
Do some oysters down in Duxbury.
Get some oysters, pull some lobsters.
Why don't we do this? He says he forgives talk radio. They've got audiences to create.
Yeah.
Why don't we get in touch with John and maybe we can go out of the boat one day? Maybe we can do a live show. I'm not sure we come back alive.
Yeah,
we can try it
hey,
out.
What's that cement doing over there?
No, well, it's easy, you know. You can get your leg caught up.
I think you guys could go.
Yeah, you can get your leg caught up in, like, rope and stuff like that. But I've got friends who live in Charlestown who see him all the time. He's walking around Charlestown. They said he seems happy.
Yeah.
Always friendly to them. He's just still with,
I think so.
What's her name? Like,
Jess.
Jess Marin. Still with Jess Marin.
John, I always liked John Farrell, the guy.
Yeah, he seemed to be a nice enough guy. Just
an oddity, for sure.
Didn't think that John Farrell, the manager, was very good.
Right.
And, I mean, it was more than, you know, we could, the normal baseball debate, and we can have it with, you know, with Alex Cora, whether he left Erod in too long. Of course, if he didn't start him in the seventh and his bullpen gave it up, we'd be having the same, the people who come out of the woodwork that said he should have went another inning, this bullpen is awful. We can talk about whether he should have hit and run Christian Vasquez last night. We can talk about whether the bunts or who the... So that's normal baseball debate, right, on a nightly basis. I felt like there were certain things that happened with that team the last 2 years that weren't normal debates, that weren't normal... I mean, it was just It's ass backwards. Giving a guy like Xander Bogaerts that's beat tired the 7 o'clock game off and making him play at noon the next day, that is so ass backwards. You play at 7,
and then
you take
the
day game off. We see it now here all the time, right? That it was just there was so many things that were so bizarre. You're playing in a baseball game, and you need the kid who's a Chris Young, you know, and it was like the game is on the line, and you let him to face Michael Givens from Baltimore.
Chris Young needs the at-bats.
It needs the at-bats. No, you need the win. Get his at-bats tomorrow. I mean, it was bizarre world. I'm not going there anymore because
I can't handle it anymore. That's why I when I see it, it's, you know, he talks about it's peaceful, Farrell says, 56. He pulls away from the dock at 4:30 a.m. while the inky night merges with the promise of dawn. It's a completely different world out on the water. No baseball critics out there. No one yelling and screaming. So today when they were writing this, he said his mission is ambitious. To pull and bait 350 of 800 lobster traps he has placed off the Massachusetts shoreline. I mean, is that a lot? I don't know. Is that
that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot for a single boat. So he's got one other guy in the boat.
Pull
with him?
And bait 350 of the 800 lobster traps. Yeah. Don't you have to have a license for that? Don't you have to?
Yeah, well, he's got a license.
You're telling me that people get shot if they pull somebody else's trap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't mess with
them. Why were you telling me to pull some traps last time?
Right around my house,
he wants you to do it. Shot.
He's like, go ahead and pull that trap.
I did. I sent him out in the boat right near the trap. I said, pull that trap up.
Grab some lobsters out of there.
But I will say this, he had trouble pulling out relief pitchers, but I'm looking at pictures. Here he's pulling out the traps full. He knows exactly how to do it.
Yeah, but I just feel like if you can tell, like, he was over his head. He was over his head.
He won a World Series.
I know he did. Okay, but fine. You can see. You know, he talked about the hangover and how difficult it is. And but this guy was not built for this city.
No, he was a perfect fit for what he followed Valentine.
So why did
he say
yeah?
Perfect fit.
Yeah, perfect.
And then I just felt like he just. You know, I mean, people took it as like me being personal when I said that, you know, he's not the lead in the locker room. Everybody wants to say he is. And that when Torey Lovullo left, it was a disaster because the players were like, now what? Now I got to deal with him. Like, there was no connection whatsoever. There was no communication whatsoever. It was just different. And that turned into you just attacking him personally.
Well, did you ever have a confrontation with him or whatever? Because you were doing your job as an analyst.
I mean, he wasn't crazy there for a while, you know, for me. And then he just sort of avoided me.
Did he?
I was waiting to see if Lou.
So he didn't confront him.
He's going to blame John Farrell.
Yeah, I didn't deal with him much. And the times I did, he was pretty friendly.
How much better is this team and, you know, losses? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I see them out on the field. I see losses. And it turned out they won, what, 19 more? Yeah. Whatever the hell it was,
like 15 said, Ryan,
more? No, you're right. He was a decent enough guy because I had two managers try to kill me, two of them. And I survived both of them. But they threatened me anyway.
He's a good guy, so I'm happy for him. Yeah, he's in a happy place.
But isn't that kind of strange, though, that, and I get it now that, you know, we know that his dad was doing this, that he stays in this town. Stays in this town because it didn't end well. And Alex Cora comes in here. This is a big success now. They won last year. They won the World Series. They won 108 games during the regular season. And he stays here. And, of course, the whole relationship he had with a reporter became public, and he's staying here. That's kind of surprising me because he could go anywhere.
I think that's all part of Boston.
Well, in the country, right? He could move.
Yeah. He still works in baseball. He scouts the Reds.
Pitchers. Yeah, but he doesn't have to live here. He doesn't have to live.
Yeah, so he's just watching film.
Yeah.
Right? And then he's just going on
the
water.
He might go to some minor league teams for a week, that type of thing.
He saw something that maybe only he saw.
That kind of surprised him that he stayed here.
It just showed, listen, when you look back and you think back of all the things that he said, even like the press conference, how bad they were. He didn't know how to navigate a press conference.
Pressed with a golden arm and tremendous stuff.
He just and you're sitting there going, what is wrong? He's just this is not who he is.
Well, he made a lot of things worse.
Yeah, he just couldn't communicate. It wasn't because he didn't know what he was doing, but sometimes he made every situation worse based on his post game press conference.
See, I think the manager, you don't want to give too much, but you want to give enough reason so people can sit there and say, okay, whether you agree or disagree, okay, like Alex sat here today and talked about why he brought Josh Taylor in.
Yeah.
John
would never do that.
Ebbs and flows.
Well, maybe he would try, and you still wouldn't understand it, or he'd make it worse and confuse you even more.
Yes.
And you're like, whoa, what is he doing? And part of that was hiding some things or protecting players, but he made himself look bad whenever he opened his mouth. I felt it sound worse than it was.
Yeah, I think Alex really learned a lot from Francona, and he tries to be a lot like that, and he knows that he's got to say things, especially in this town. You just can't sit there and try to hide everything. And I think that's what Farrell did. And so what happens is when you're trying to hide everything, everybody becomes more suspicious, right? That's what you end up doing.
And the other thing is he doesn't have the gift. Like, I'm using Bill as an example. He's the ultimate example. But he doesn't have the ability to to gloss over it, to hide it, to be vague and cryptic. He doesn't have that ability to run in circles.
No, he would throw words together, and you're like, at the end, you're like, what the hell? What does that mean?
And because he's trying to hide it, he's trying to throw everybody off the scent, but he's doing such a terrible job on it.
The strike throwing is so consistent.
He would have been so much better if he was just honest. Listen, I screwed up. It's like he couldn't handle what the backlash that was going to come from being himself.
Lou,
this is who he is. This is this guy. This guy, the lobster boat guy.
Lou, you probably remember this. A lot of people early on in his career thought he was going to be a great front office executive. They thought that he knew every They thought he knew every aspect of the
game. He was in the front office, minor league system, minor league director,
right?
When I was in Cleveland
in
2004.
Yeah.
And that was it. He could do anything he wanted. I just think manager was probably the wrong spot for him. And I know he won a World Series, and he won a division a couple years in a row. It's just that in this day and age, it's why you see a guy like Chris Woodward get thrown in the mix down in Texas, and all of a sudden they're performing well. It's just the communication and relating to these guys, I just don't think was there. Could he go back into a front office and be an assistant GM or even GM, or could he be another pitching coach? Sure. But just managing personalities, I think, was an area that we can talk about X's and O's all we want. But I think that was the area where I think he lost his locker room. Communication just wasn't there.
All right, it was a cute little story today in the Globe. But you're right; I think it had already been done.
Will he manage again?
Once before,
I guess, is the question.
I don't think so.
Somebody give him a shot. Bench coach
seems very happy.
He'd be a good bench coach. He's not held accountable for all the decisions. He could be everybody's buddy. He could be a father figure.
Yeah.
Could he be a third base coach? That's what I want.
No,
that's
pitching
what
coach or
right
front
now.
Office
could
guy.
Could use one right now.
Pitching coach, front office guy. That's what he should be doing. I mean, whatever.
But he
should be
lobstering.
That's what he should
be
doing.
To the media.
Perfect for him.
Well, you don't have to.
Should not be talking to the media.
Perfect lobstering. That's what he should be doing.
Now, is he selling those? Like, obviously not. He's selling them, right?
I would imagine.
Yeah, he's a commercial fisherman.
Where are we at? Restaurant, lobster rolls, what are we doing?
Yeah. That's what he's doing.
Okay, well, can we get some lobsters?
He's probably selling them right there.
Lobster time equals lobster time. He forgives you for all the crass things you said about him.
It's only one guy.
But that doesn't mean you're getting free lobster right now.
I want to get him on the show.
What do you think the gas costs for that thing?
We should get him on the show.
$3 or $4
Why don't
we
ask him?
Why don't we, since he reached out to us and he actually said in there that he really forgives a talk radio because he understands
what we're doing. All right, Tyler. That is your goal.
Yeah.
That is your goal, right? You have, this one, we all have one wish.
I'm good with it.
John Farrell in a kumbaya, you know, let's bury the hatchet, you know, build bridges, right?
Tell you
that's
what
we want to do.
I bet you John would come back for the Jimmy Fun radio
no,
show.
No, yeah, I think he would also.
He was great with
yeah,
that.
Some tells me he might go on a different show.
Yeah, just tell him. But yes,
what show would he be on? Keith? He has issues with Keith
this
also.
This is actually true.
Oh, Keith, he hated
so,
Keith.
I mean, so
he didn't
really
call Keith by his right name. He called you, at least he called you a-hole.
We were actually, right here in this studio when he gave him the stare down.
Yeah. Like I said, Ryan.
You and Keith are the ones that drove him to the water.
You go with Mutt and Jerry.
No.
Go with Wiggy.
No. Wiggy?
Yeah, I asked for that.
Yeah. Maybe he'll go with Wiggy. We got the last call. It is coming up next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, the stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. Boy, how would you like to be covering the Mets these days?
I would love it.
Ooh-wee. So yesterday, Mickey Callaway, after he had a little bit of a confrontation with a media person, who, by the way, used to work for Bradford, WEEI.com. And now he went out there, covers the Mets, and they had lost the game against the Cubs. Cubs came from behind. They win, and Mickey Callaway can't deal with it, so he, you know, shoots his mouth off at this guy. So, of course, he had to come out with apology number one, or was it an apology?
Kelly Martin punched a reporter one time. You know, I mean, it's just part of this game, you know. It's something that, you know, I'm a passionate guy about baseball, and I'm a tough competitor. The thing is you guys don't need to see it directed towards you guys. That's you guys have a job to do. I understand that. I've always understood that. And you guys don't need it directed at you.
Oh, he made a mistake. This is 2019. That is not an adequate apology.
No,
you know what that is?
What's he apologizing for? Because he yelled at somebody?
That's justification. That's not apology.
Wait, Billy Martin once punched a guy.
Once punched a guy.
Didn't he just yell at a reporter?
Yeah, I got,
all he did?
He got a little
no, he threw him out.
Well, he threw him out. He didn't physically put his hands
no,
on
no, but
him.
Usually, you know.
Throw him out. You can't throw him out.
It's, you know, you, sometimes you do it privately. You do it privately.
Oh, so he publicly threw him out.
But the problem is that wasn't good enough. Because then about, an hour later, I think he had to address the media again. So obviously someone got in his ear and said that was not what we're talking about, Mick.
Not in 2019. Here's the apology number two.
I wanted you guys to know that in my meeting with Tim, I apologize for my reaction. I regret it. I regret the, you know, the distraction it's caused to the team. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's something that we'll learn from. So, you know, it's something I'm not proud of. I'm not proud of the distraction. I'm not proud of what I did to Tim. You know, so, you know, for that, I'm definitely sorry.
It's a joke. So what happened was he went in the first time, and then the ownership is the problem with the Mets. Wilpon is a disaster. They don't know how to deal with anything, okay? So he goes in and he does it the first time because apparently nobody was specific enough to say, you really need to apologize.
Yeah.
Apparently Callaway apologized to this reporter one-on-one. So now he comes back an hour and a half later and we have another media session so that he can apologize. How foolish is that?
I'm
so
stupid. You're smart.
So we
I
go
was
to
wrong. You were right. Exactly. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
So I don't know about you, but when you want to make an apology and you want to figure out how you do it best in New York, you go to Mike Francesa of the Pope.
Is now that it was off camera, but they made Mickey come. This is not good. This is not good from Mickey's standpoint. This is just embarrassing from everybody's standpoint. They made him come back out and meet the media again before the game. which has to be mortifying for Mickey. And who knows, maybe for the game, Mickey apologized for the third time. Or maybe we can have a third discussion about it now that we've already had two in the one day. Crazy stuff. Just crazy stuff. To bring him back out to do that, just unbelievable. Drew in Trenton, what's up, Drew?
Mike, that's exactly why I called. I'm almost incensed the fact that they sent him back out.
That's ridiculous. I mean, he couldn't wait till the game's over. I mean, my God, you had to send him back out and embarrass him like that? I wouldn't have gone if I had him.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
I wouldn't have gone. I would have said, I already answered it. I already answered it. I'm sorry. I'll deal with it in the postgame. If that's not good enough for you, get someone else to manage the team.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean,
if I'm him, I'm telling you, that's Jay. I really have a different opinion about the whole thing if I'm Mickey now. If I'm Mickey, I don't know if I want to manage the team anymore. I mean, I'm being honest. I mean, you just send me back out there. I already apologized. I said I wanted to keep it between me and the guy. You made me call the guy and apologize to the guy. I don't know what went on here or not, so I don't know what was said between the two men. I don't know. But you apologized, and then he didn't use the word apology, so now you send him back out to apologize. Again, you reconvene the media and have him say, let me just tell you, I'm really sorry, I apologize. I mean, give me a break. I mean, that was embarrassing.
You have to say, I apologize. You can't say sorry.
I apologize.
My apologize.
Should be the first thing you say.
I apologize. Sorry the same as I apologize?
No.
Well, no. What? I'm not even kidding. What is the difference between I apologize and I'm sorry?
How about I regret it?
Regret it isn't necessarily. It means like you feel like you're mad you got caught.
I would never do that.
Mad you're in trouble.
His job now for months.
So here's what
doesn't look good for me.
So here's what I love about the sports pope, because he gave us the whole lecture on apology 101.
But then, of course, you had to send him back out and embarrass him like that.
But then, of course, he had to include his experiences, right? Because it's all about the sports pope.
Sports pope. So what is he saying?
I don't know.
What did he say, Glenn?
Okay.
Captain Furious. No, something got broken over there. Somebody's breaking something over there.
Mets beat reporter for SNY, Andy Martino, said a rival GM today after watching the entirety of the Mickey Callaway show yesterday, he's obviously trying to get fired.
Well, I'm not so sure he has to try at this point. It's just a question of when.
Well, the team's underachieved, right?
It's not working, and there's been other things to go along, not just this incident. A lot of people felt like this was the final straw, and they didn't move on from him. But it's not long for Mickey in New York. It hasn't gone well all year. And it's not just the team's not winning. It's just decisions and people questioning it, and it's not working for him.
How much fun are they having out there?
Well, I love it when they're saying, well, he's first-year guy. What do you expect? Well, it's worked great with these other guys, right? It's worked terrific. All right, so we'll bitch before we leave the studio today, because we're going to be obviously coming back to the studio, I'm sure, during the course of the summer. And my guess is, in subsequent times when we're here, it will be warmer than it was today.
You think?
So we came in here today, and it's actually, you know, it's summer here, right?
79 degrees.
And the heat was on.
But the humidity, whatever that index is, through the roof.
And so we put the air conditioning on, and the air conditioning, they just put it on again. The air conditioning goes off. Every 5 minutes.
You turn it on, it goes off for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
I got a nice little breeze.
The biggest
going
issue
right now.
I had was like this studio is only used by people at WEEI, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So when we walked in, there was a full coffee spilt on the floor.
Breadfo!
Like just spilled on the floor.
Breadfo.
Someone just spilled it and left.
Yep.
It was just on the floor, and we sitting here, full roll of toilet paper, cleaning it up and washing the floor.
So we looked at
who spills
we looked at the log
the floor and leaves it.
We looked at the log, and we found out that the last people in the studio was Rob Bradford and Reamer.
Holy mackerel.
Yep, it was you two guys.
So one of those two
disgusting.
Basically disgusting. A full medium-sized coffee on the floor and just left.
Just left.
Stretch drive.
They had to get to the game.
No, all over
something
the floor.
Was going on. There are cameras in here, right? Right.
Yep. I don't know.
Filming everything, so we can find out who the culprit
right
is.
Here.
You just flat out just, walked away. That drives me crazy. That drives me crazy.
It was seriously, like all over the floor. How do you walk away from that?
Like your excuse can't be, I didn't see it.
No, it's impossible not to see.
You're lucky you didn't slip on it and fall to the ground.
So, Joe, sure. And we're going to walk out of
maybe
here.
Maybe
Brad
had a Nesson hit. He'd run out of here.
All wet and sweaty. I mean, this is embarrassing.
Yeah, I was nervous. I thought you were going to pass out.
Oh, are you?
Oh, you got to change your shirt.
I got to change everything.
You're
this is embarrassing.
Out.
We're not doing this again, right? We're not doing this again. We're uniting.
Oh, we're not here for a couple weeks. Hopefully, we can fix it.
Fix the air conditioning.
Hopefully, we can fix it.
We'll be back. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow, 2 p.m.
Later.
See you then.
Later, boys.
Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.